Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Are you struggling to know how to handle your child or teenager who gives up too easily? Today's Healthy Family Connections podcast, episode number 34, is titled, Is Giving Up Easily About Self-Confidence? It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and that's me. I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you create that enjoyable family you work for every day. And for those looking for help with their parenting and relationship challenges, come to my website, neildbrown.com, and download my free Parent Burnout Recovery Guide. And please remember, this is an educational podcast. It is not a substitute for psychotherapy when you need it. Well, today, we're answering a question from Les from the state of Maryland. And Les writes, I am the parent of a rising high school freshman. My son has always loved sports, but never wants to put the effort in to get better. We've spent so much money on teams and clinics, not because we forced them on him, but because he wanted to. The problem, I believe, is self-confidence. Whenever he plays with kids that are at a higher level, he decides that team or club or clinic is not for him, and he ends up quitting. How do I get him to understand that putting in the effort and not to quit will make him better? He went to a camp before tryouts for his new high school and was intimidated by the skills of the kids at the camp, and now he doesn't want to try out. Should we encourage him to try out anyway? We don't want to force him if he really doesn't want to. Help! Well, thanks for your question, Les, and let's see if I can offer some perspective. Les, how we think about a problem is going to determine how we address the problem. So if we think of this as a self-confidence issue, it may take us in a very limiting direction. In other words, how are we going to fix your son's self-confidence? I think of this more as a character development issue. Giving up and quitting, even for a kid who lacks self-confidence, if that's the case, is not acceptable. If he signs up for camp and he's among the weaker athletes there, he needs to find a way to use the program, use the opportunity, develop his skills, and essentially have a good time. Most kids, 99.99% of kids, will not grow up to be athletes. We all know this. So sports in childhood and adolescence is more about developing a relationship with our bodies, developing team skills, friendship, being active, and developing character. Learning to be comfortable with failure is a critical component of learning, growing, and becoming successful in life in general. So being allowed to quit is not going to help him grow his self-esteem or his self-confidence. It's not going to help him improve, and it will undermine his character development. We want to teach our kids to keep commitments, make the best out of difficult situations, stay positive, and be committed to learning and growing. So, Les, when you say he loves sports but doesn't put in the effort to get better, that actually doesn't ring true to me. It doesn't sound like a kid who loves sports. Kids who love sports work at it and love working at it. So while he might enjoy playing sports, he might not have that competitive spirit that describes someone who loves sports. You might be confusing his enjoying playing sports with loving sports and wanting to excel. And he and you might be engaging in a pattern where you keep signing him up, with his approval, of course, but with the hope that he'll stick it out. And he's developed the idea that sticking something out is optional. And it shouldn't be. So if your son signs up for a sports camp designed to help kids improve their skills, then he needs to utilize the opportunity to improve his skills, even if he doesn't have the drive or intention of becoming a top athlete. So if he wants to quit, his dad needs to say, no way. Now you can coach him on how to deal with it. You know, you might coach him to speak to the coaches and ask them what reasonable goals for him at his level would be. He can make friends with some of the other kids, and he can work hard at getting better. Sometimes at the end of these camps, they give out awards, and he might get the most improved player award. The important thing is that he challenge himself, that he do his best and improve. In fact, kids who believe they can improve with effort apply the effort, and they have what's being called a growth mindset. And kids who don't, kids who think they are only as capable as they are now and can't improve with effort, they don't apply the effort. They have what's been termed a fixed mindset. The research on this subject and the development of these terms comes from Carol Dweck, and it's discussed in her book, Mindset. And this is no small thing. When these two groups are compared and both confronted with a problem or task that's being designed somewhat difficult for their ability, growth mindset kids, their brains light up with activity as they engage problem solving. And they stay with it, and sure enough, the likelihood of them solving the problem is very high. Now, neurological activity for fixed mindset kids slows way down under these circumstances, and this both reflects their hopelessness and ensures failure. So, Les, an important question for us to ask is whether or not your son will persist in other situations. So, not just in athletics, but in school, will he stay with a difficult problem or assignment, or does he easily give up? He may simply enjoy sports and want to get better, but he may not have a highly competitive nature, and he might find sports filled with highly competitive kids intimidating. He might enjoy lower key environments for his athletic activities. It would be important to have the conversation with him about his feelings about this. And high school is generally when kids separate out into serious athletes and more recreational athletes, with the more serious kids participating on the high school teams. However, there are usually high school sports where lots of kids can participate regardless of natural ability or skill. Track and field and cross country, for instance, they're sports that are open to kids of all abilities and have lots of participants in general. And it's a plus for the teams to have lots of kids, and that helps them score points. Another opportunity could be wrestling. That's a sport where most kids have not been to camps, and they don't have one group that's way ahead of another group, and kids are matched up by weight class. So sometimes just being a small kid makes it a pretty hot commodity, so you have someone in that weight class. But Les, the point is this. We don't want your son to develop the bad habit of quitting something when he becomes uncomfortable. We want to expect him to stay with his commitments and work through his feelings. This discussion should not be on whether or not he quits. The discussion should be on what he's feeling and ways to deal with it. Can he simply accept that he isn't as talented or as experienced as the other kids and set a goal to personally improve at a certain skill in the sport or to a certain level? How about if he talks with the sports camp leader and talks about where he fits in and what specifically he could work on? But in the end, whether or not he stays with a specific sport isn't something we should worry about. We do want him to have interests and passions that he does in fact stay with and build skill with. And we do want him to learn some things about himself. Let's say the next thing he lands on is wanting to play the guitar. Now, rather than you running out and getting him a guitar and signing him up for lessons, Les, have a realistic discussion with him about his reasons for wanting to play his guitar, what his goals would be, and what he's willing to put into it, what a plan would be. It will be important for him to have some financial investment in a guitar and a realistic sense of how learning curve works with learning to play an instrument And how does a learning curve work? Well, let me just share that. Let's just think of a graph where the horizontal line on the bottom represents time and the vertical line going up along the left side represents skill level. So starting out learning something new, the line along the time axis stays pretty flat or goes up very slowly. In other words, everything at first is hard and improvement is slow. And that's a time when a lot of kids just give up right away. But then after a while, the line starts to steepen and things get a bit easier and improvement comes more quickly. That's when it's more satisfying. And then once a level of ability is achieved, improvement slows down again and the line flattens. But if the learner perseveres after a while, it will steepen again. If we know this and have experience with it, we'll have the confidence that we can learn anything we want to devote the time and the effort to. We won't be intimidated by that early slow progress. You know, it's great role modeling for our kids, for us as parents, to learn something we're completely new at. What's the one thing you always wished you had learned? Piano? How about learning a foreign language? Backpacking? A martial art? Maybe it's for you, it's landscape painting. Why not try something you don't know how to do but would love to and commit to learning it? That way we're teaching our kids that learning and growing is what's important, not being great at everything you do. And if you work at something long enough and hard enough, you will become proficient. Now, we had a rule in our family when we were raising our kids that they each had to participate in at least one sport a year. And they had to develop proficiency with at least one musical instrument. Well, that kept them on learning curves, and lo and behold, they got some skills that they can have for life. So Les, rather than worry about your son's self-confidence or fighting with him to go out for a specific high school sport, I'd be having some discussions with him about what he really wants to pursue. I'd talk with him about sticking with things. I talk with him about learning curves, and I talk with him about building a growth mindset. And then I put those discussions into action by having some standards and some accountability in place. So for instance, if after a discussion he decides to go out for cross country, but finds out he's not as fast as some of the kids and the workouts are hard, and so he starts complaining and talks about quitting. Well, you'll need to tell him that that's not how we do things. You give him some good support and let him know that as his body adjusts, he'll get faster and the workouts will get easier and more fun. And you let him know he's required to keep his commitment. Then write down his running times at the beginning of the season and then at the end of the season so he can see his improvement. Does that make sense? So parents, let's be sure our kids are comfortable challenging themselves and dealing with adversity. Let's commit to setting a good example for our kids. Let's let them know about our failures and our struggles. Let's take up an activity we'd like to learn but have never taken the time to invest in. Let's challenge ourselves with this question. Are we a family of lifelong learners? Well, heartfelt thanks to you, Les, for your very stimulating question, and thanks for tuning in today, listeners. And please, feel free to come to my website at neildbrown.com and sign up for my weekly email. And if you haven't already, grab a copy of my book, Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle. Many readers have told me it's the least expensive and best counseling session they ever had. And if you're enjoying my podcast, please stop over to my iTunes site at Healthy Family Connections, click on Ratings and Reviews, and write a brief review. And please, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.